Hey, everybody, it's the Rolling Around the World podcast.
That's new.
All right, Rolling Around the World podcast here live at the Ohio Cup. It's not really live. I'm recording this. You're going to hear this later during the week. I just got this itch in my ear. It's driving me crazy. Here, co-hosted by the Swamp Fox, Rudy Frias. Hey, Boo-Boo, what you got to say?
Hey, it's a treat and a pleasure to be here sitting next to you at the Ohio Cup.
Maybe after this and we go offline, I'll tell you what my nickname used to be, and then we'll have something together. joining us now here in Ohio as a member of the Rochester Grangers, but we'll get into the very complicated situation of his rostering. He's all over the place. A young man I came into contact with a few years ago. It's Daniel Rowland. Daniel, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thanks for saying that, you liar.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Are you a long-time listener?
I try.
I don't run across too many of those.
You're sitting next to your long-time listener.
Him?
Every episode. Yeah, true. Me and Marbles.
Marbles and Swamp Fox. That's why they're on the show all the time. They listen to themselves.
That sounds good.
Daniel, you contacted me. Our contact is such as this. You contacted me interested in vintage baseball. Do you still live in Vassar?
Yep. I don't. I used to live in Hazel Park now.
You contacted me interested in vintage baseball, and you didn't know where to turn.
Yes.
And you were looking for ideas, and this is when I had the Frankenmuth Club, and I directed you to the regular baseball club of Mount Clemens, and then you took it from there. How did everything after what I just said, how did it go?
Good. I still play for Mount Clemens. Mount Clemens and Rochester don't really play on the same days all the time, and Rochester has a little heavier schedule, so obviously I wanted to play more. And I had a buddy that played for Rochester that was trying to poach me through all these years, and finally this year I joined, and it's been a fun year.
So. Who's that buddy?
His name was Bluegrass Tim Ponzer. He passed away this year, tragically. I got his nickname tattooed on my arm.
Yep.
He's a dear friend.
Tim, I believe, passed away in an unfortunate car accident. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yeah.
So, very unfortunate. Young man. Had a lot going for him, and you hate to hear about stuff like that. So definitely everybody felt that when it happened. So tragedy, that's a thing. If you can take anything positive out of a situation like that, vintage baseball, they feel everything.
I mean, think about it this way.
Together.
Here in Ohio, it was felt. And because, like, the Capitals have a long history, the Muffins have a long history with
yeah.
the Rangers, and so... It was a ripple, and so I mean it speaks to the family element because it sounds cliche. Let's be honest. When everybody says the camaraderie, they come on here, they talk about camaraderie and the friendships, and it's literally one big family, especially
Absolutely.
Here in the Midwest, the community. And as you venture out further into the East Coast, they become your family expands. So I mean, yeah, you were definitely you had the support and the condolences and thoughts of all of us here in Ohio and
appreciate it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I at least was able to get at least half a season in with him. He's always trying to poach me to come play, and
yeah.
So I'm glad I got to at least for this first half of the season.
Totally.
Daniel, you saw vintage baseball before you played it, and what are some things that you weren't expecting when you wanted to get involved?
Weren't expecting
things.
Just how popular it was. I know it's really like. Kind of grassroots and low-key, but like once you are in it, like you kind of realize that the vintage baseball world's like all over the place. It's huge, and there's so many people that do it, and from East Coast to West Coast, and especially here in the Midwest, it's everywhere, and it's cool for all these random places we get
right.
to go. Never thought I'd be in Columbus, Ohio
right.
playing vintage baseball, but here we are.
With like 20-plus other teams from
yeah.
across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. How was the adjustment to catching a baseball with your bare hands? How was that?
It actually wasn't that bad. I think it's a common misconception. You kind of psych yourself out a little bit. Like, oh, it's going to hurt. And you kind of just learn how to field it and kind of learn how to play. And it's not that bad.
It's more of an adjustment
yeah.
than it is anything else. So you just have to relearn how you catch a baseball.
Yeah.
And you're fine. I know Mike Feeney agrees with me as he's still here. Mike, get a life. No. Daniel, who have, what teams have you seen and played against this weekend?
We just played Fillmore in a, it was a hard-fought game to the end. Lost that. Who else we play? It's been kind of a blur, but...
Didn't you play somebody this morning here?
Yeah, we did. We played a 10 o'clock game.
The Minnesota...
No, the German Village 9?
German Village, yeah. Yes. They invited us to come out
for
a game. And
yeah, you want a unique experience, schedule them at.
Yeah.
And Grangers, who travels more? This is a serious question. I don't know the answer is. Who's more of a traveling club, the Regulars or the Grangers?
It's a hard one. I think they're both kind of the same in their own way. I've never played out of state with the Regulars. We've never scheduled anything. So I guess if you could say I've played in Ohio and Mackinac Island this year. Okay. So we've been covering some distance. And I think the team played out in Grand Rapids. So
the Regulars are one of the few Midwest clubs that will play unlimited. They prefer to play unlimited. And then you go over to Rochester and you're playing fly matches with Rochester. How do you feel about the differences in the rule sets that you experience?
I like unrestricted just because you can kind of like steal whenever you want. It's fun, but I get like, I mean, if you steal on the muff too, there's not that much of a difference. It's one and the same in my opinion. I know it's going to offend some people, but.
Spoken like a true young person.
Yeah, I don't think there's... Let me ask you this question, Daniel. Is there anything that bothers you?
Bothers me.
Anything?
In vintage baseball?
I think
that hidden ball trick that got me last game bothered me.
Someone pulled a hidden ball trick on you?
Yeah, we had a big inning. You know, we were scoring runs. I went from first to third, and they threw the ball into third. I didn't see the throw come in. But everyone lined up like they were ready to go, so I took a lead off, and I got tagged. And I'm like...
Rapscallions.
I'm like, are you serious? I used some colorful language. not really gentlemanly of me, but I was like, dude, come on. Like, what are we doing
But it's
here?
Not against the rules. It's not against the rules.
And then our bench didn't say anything. No one said anything. And then they're like, it's my fault. So,
yeah, you don't really have anybody in your corner at that point.
Yeah.
I've actually gotten a... somebody out when I had the Frankenmuth Club. I personally pulled the hidden ball trick against the Regulars. How do you think that went over?
Sure, they were very pleased with you.
They were not.
What?
You ever been called out on a hidden ball?
No.
Marbles? No?
That's a no for all those
people. I think I got it. I think I got once, and I had it in the back of my head like I have to do it to somebody to cleanse.
See, the thing that I've come across the most, and this is what I encountered on the East Coast, is the push the ball, pop fly to the ground to create the double play. So there'll be a runner at first, pop fly hit. They won't catch it. They'll guide it to the ground, throw it to second, throw it to first for the double play. And then
you should have hit it better.
The foul tick fake out. The foul tick... caught on the first bounce by the behind, he chucks it to like first or second or wherever the runner is, and he purposely throws it over their head. So the runner takes off thinking it's a pass ball, and then the pitcher just walks over, receives the ball at the base for the double play.
That's insane. You ever see any of that, what he said?
Nope.
You will. All right, Daniel, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate you. Be safe the rest of the way and on your way home.
Thank you.